thoughtful and just wonderful challenge of being a part of the Holy Spirit journey of bringing somebody to Christ. If in fact you have not, I just want you to invite, just allow the Spirit to convict your heart to say, before I close my eyes or be caught up with Jesus when he comes in the clouds of glory, I want the joy of knowing that I have been a part of serving Jesus Christ and winning somebody for Christ. And so this day, I want you to know that the privilege, it's not going to be an inconvenience, it's going to be a privilege. Every night, every day, we're going to focus, we're going to pray, and we're going to bring our friends and bring ourselves and be a part of ministry teams. In the afternoon, you're going to see that not only are you going to be able to sign up and register for frangelism, that simply means friends, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors, and divine appointments. You have already in the past been passed out the sheets, and we're asking that you would just be so kind, as you have been praying, is to whoever has been in your heart, whether they're friend, relative, acquaintance, neighbor, or if you're just open to where God is moving in your life, just to write down their names and then put their email address or their phone numbers, and we want to begin to pray on a daily basis for these souls. And you're going to see that God specializes in things that seem impossible. I just want you to just right now, if you could just do me a favor, just stand to your feet. Just stand to your feet. And we're going to begin our message by just singing a cappella this song that you all know. And we're going to ask that God will just come into your heart, into your heart. Into my heart. Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in to stay, come into my heart. Lord Jesus, out of my heart, shine. Lord Jesus, shine out today. Shine out always. Shine out of my heart, Lord Jesus. Father, we're so grateful for your word. And your word has challenged us to go ye therefore and teach, reach, baptize. And Lord, we are so thankful for the leadership and the vision of this church to continue to do our part in building the kingdom of God. So Lord, take us from where we are to where you desire us to be. Matter of fact, oh God, take us as thread between thy finger and the loom. Weave us into the fabric of your will, for our ultimate goal is to be in the raiment of the Most High God. So use us, O God. Convict us. Give us a story to tell. Invigorate us so that we may be conduits of your grace to the world. So we thank you in advance as we move into your word for these next few moments. In Jesus' name. If you love the Lord, shout amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We're going to become today fruitful Christians. And God today has given us a passage of scripture that will help to understand and articulate what happens when a sinner comes to Christ. And I want you to pay special attention, because this day is a day that I think will, in the history of the Corona Church, will help to continue to transform us from being members into disciples. In Acts, the 8th chapter, verse 26, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.'" If in fact you and I are going to engage in the divine initiative of being conduits of change, of grace, to this hopeless place we call the planet Earth, you're going to look at some of these keys. And I believe that if you're going to be a conduit of change, of grace, you and I are going to have to be people who are in tune with heaven. Because if you look, God is always moving. If you look with the eyes of faith, you will discover that God is constantly reigning and ruling and orchestrating, and he is moving in a mighty way. Many of us have learned when we were very, very young, the scripture says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Most of us, we look at that as a text. If you keep your heart clean, if you have grace in your heart, one day in the end of time, you'll be able to see Jesus Christ coming in the clouds of glory. And I believe that that is a meaning, and you can interpret that text as such. But when it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God," I really believe, as I've studied that text, is that if in fact we keep ourselves open and clean and cause the blood of Jesus Christ to continue to passionately move us and grow us in the area of sanctification, we will be able to see what God sees. In other words, we will have the insight of God. We will be able to discern wherever God is moving. And if you look at Philip was that type of person. He was always looking to see where God was moving. And he was always listening to see where God was trying to tell him to go. And it says that he was going a certain direction, and God was transforming his mind so that he would move into a different direction. Even some of you right now, as Robert testified in his testimony today, he was moving one way, but maybe somebody needs to understand that God is trying to tap you on the shoulder and say, "It's time for you to move in a different direction." If in fact you're going to be successful in partnering with God to build up the kingdom of God, you and I are going to have to live our lives being on the lookout. Lookout for what? Looking out for where God is moving. Listening to where God is much, much trying to get our attention. But the story moves on. It says, "And he arose and went." He heard God's voice. He felt the direction, and it says, "And he arose and went." And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Now, you have to understand that not only if you're going to be successful, and I'm going to continue to give God the glory for whatever he's doing in my ministry, not only do I have to live my life being on the lookout, we have to be willing to reach anyone. Now, you have to understand that Philip, he was a he was a Christian who was formerly a Jew. And now God, listen, literally was trying to expand his ministry because theretofore, Jews were only concerned about other Jews when it came down to the Christian enterprise. And so if a Jew was converted, they were very, 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 very close. If I was a Jew and now I'm a Christian, I would only witness to other Jews. But now God was trying to expand the kingdom, and God had told him, okay, now it's time to break out of your comfort zone and move and reach a Ethiopian eunuch who was educated but was from another nationality. So if, in fact, God is going to pour out the Spirit on this church and on this crusade for until he comes, I want to challenge everybody, not only just live your life being on a lookout, but make sure that you are willing to reach anyone. There are some of us who are Christians. I don't care what race, I don't care what nationality, but we become a little bit uncomfortable with people who are not like us. In other words, they didn't go to our schools or they don't speak our language. But the bottom line is, the grace of God is for everyone. The grace of God is for everyone. The grace of God is for everyone and for every age. I don't care if they're young. I don't care if they're old. There is nothing called a non-quality soul when it comes to the kingdom of grace. And I want you to understand that if God is going to continue to bless this church as he has, and I know the heart of your pastor, and I am learning the heart of your leaders, and it's a wonderful church, but I want you to continue on the journey to be willing to reach anybody. I don't care if they're young or old, whether they're in their tender teens or their teachable 20s or their tireless 30s or their fearful 40s or their fitful 50s or their seasoned 60s or their settled 70s or their aching 80s or their nebulous 90s or their hesitant hundreds. In other words, God says, whosoever will, let them come. Somebody ought to say amen out there. So be willing to reach anyone and everyone, and God is going to bless you real good. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. Now look at the progression to the story, because it teaches us some principles that are very, very powerful, because it first teaches us that we have to live our lives with tiptoe anticipation to see where God is moving. But not only that, we're going to have to move around and make sure that we are not discriminant in who we're trying to reach. Not just the educated, not just the people with money, not just the people who are what they call of a lower socioeconomic background. No, the grace of God is for everyone. And when God touches you, I want you to understand you always grow up in Christ. But one of the most important ingredients of this story that was extracted by when God was just trying to speak to me and giving me principles is that you have to be willing to be obedient and open to the Spirit of God. When it comes down to soul winning, when it comes down to sharing your faith, and especially when it comes down to results, and we are not talking about numbers. There is no numbers. I've been involved by God's grace with over 45 campaigns as a union evangelist, as a local conference evangelist, as a large senior church pastor. And I have seen the joy. I have seen the joy of people coming together just like this. Over 5,000 people being baptized for his glory and in his power. But I have to recognize that it has nothing to do with preaching, has to do nothing to do with strategy, but it has to do with the Spirit of God. And I learned a long time ago that if, in fact, we're going to be successful in this enterprise called evangelism and outreach in any of its forms, traditional or non-traditional, we have to be open to the Spirit of God. We have to be obedient to the Spirit of God. In other words, whatever the Spirit tells us to do, we have to be willing to do. I think that is a good key. I think that's not only a good key in evangelism, but but to being a good Christian, I really believe that we need to be open to the Spirit of God. Many times we have our own thoughts. We have our own thoughts. We have our own ways. We think just because we have experience, just because we have a degree, we think just because we have friends in high places. But I want you to know, when it comes down to God's business, it has to be Spirit-led. And when it's Spirit-led, God will come through 100% of the time for His glory and for the upbuilding of the kingdom. If you believe that fact, somebody ought to say amen. Amen. All right. And so we're going to move on. It says, so Philip ran. Look at the posture. He's now open to the Spirit of God. He's willing to reach anybody. He's on the lookout, and God gave him direction. And it says, so Philip ran to him. And watch this. Got close enough to this Ethiopian eunuch who was an officer in the queen's court who was coming back from Jerusalem from worship, so he already had a sense of God. So you have to understand, let me just throw this in for free. Just because we are holding the crusade during this time, this outreach endeavor during this time, there are going to be people who have already been prepared by the Spirit of God. You have to understand that we have a bad, bad, bad habit in some of our churches that people really don't know God until they become a Seventh-day Adventist. That is not true. I want you to understand that there are God-fearing people all over the world and in this land. But I believe that God is calling together a special people for these special times with a special message so that we can hasten the soon coming of Jesus Christ. But I want you to know that the Spirit is working beforehand. Even now, as we're preaching and teaching, as we're now about to dispense the Bible instructors, as we're now formulating the teams, the Spirit of God has already began to work. And the Spirit had already began to work on this Ethiopian eunuch many, many months, perhaps years before, because he was returning from worship, and now he was sitting in his chariot, and he was reading the Old Testament. And he was reading, but God orchestrated the timing of Philip and him to come together. But Philip, first of all, ran to his chariot because he was obedient to the Spirit, and he began to listen to what he was reading. And I want you to understand, and the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. Now, one of the things that I believe is the ultimate weapon of the enemy, as I believe that all of us who have been changed and transformed and enlightened in the power of God, I really believe that everybody in our congregation really wants to see the church grow. We really want to do something special for God. I believe that most of us have a heart and a passion for our community and for our friends and our relatives. But one of the things that the enemy uses for us not being able to segue and move into the very, very core of the gospel living that God has prescribed for us is that we don't take enough time to build relationships. You have to understand that most of the time you cannot microwave relationships. Relationships take time. But we're so busy doing this and we're so busy doing that and keeping this schedule and going to work and moving that sometimes we're so busy that we have frozen out the time that God wants for us to begin to partner with Him to help to build the kingdom. And I want you to understand what God was saying to Philip is that you go near to that chariot so that you'll be able to build a relationship with Him. I have already prepared him, but I want some human contact, some human connection so that I can begin to work real good. And so the story continues. And in Acts 8, 32 through 34, it says, now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else? Philip came near. He began to hear him read out of the book Isaiah. And most of us know that passage of scripture. And it was a messianic prophecy that was pointing to Jesus, the true sacrificial Lamb of God. The man had just come from worship, and he was reading it, and he was confused. And now the eunuch, because Philip made himself available, the eunuch began to get comfortable to ask him a question. And the question was, hey, the prophet Isaiah, what's he saying here? Is he talking about himself, Isaiah, or somebody else? Oh, the Spirit was working. And now the evangelist called Philip. Now he could answer. He could answer because this is right where God wanted the eunuch, because he brought together all of the different elements so that he could have a conversation about the one who would be the ultimate sacrifice. But here's the key. Notice that Philip came near. Notice that he came near. The first thing he did was not talk. Many times what we do, because God has blessed this church with some wonderful truths, what we do is begin the conversation with either the first Bible study or the Sabbath or something about the health message. All of those are crucial and all of those are important in growing up in Jesus Christ. But you have to understand that if, in fact, we don't take time to listen, we will never know where people are in their search for Jesus Christ. And so now Philip, he is on the lookout, and he's willing now to reach it. Lord, I don't care who they are. I don't care their socioeconomic background. I don't care their color, their nationality. I don't care if they speak my language. I don't care what they're dressed at. I'm willing now to reach anybody. I'm obedient and open to the Spirit of God. I now know the importance of building relationships, being kind. See, people want to see Jesus before they hear about Christianity. They want to see the love that you have, that you spend time with them, that you're willing to listen to their hurts and their struggles in life. So be willing to listen. And the story continues. After he listened, look what the Bible says, what Philip did. It says, then Philip opened his mouth. That suggests that before that, all he did was be present. All he was there was just listening, being in tune, making sure. So the next key is serious when it comes down to us being contagious Christians in these last days. Not only should you be willing to listen, but you have to begin where they are. You have to begin where they are. So if, in fact, he was talking about, who was Isaiah talking about? Was he talking about himself or was he talking about somebody else? Philip could have said, well, that's lesson number 24 and I'll get there. He could have said, well, maybe, no. He began where he was. He began to discuss the things that were that he was personally, the Ethiopian eunuch, he was grappling with. In other words, he was a relevant minister, or he was scratching where the eunuch was itching. In other words, he went right there. And so he began where he was. He began where he was. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. Then Philip opened up his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. He didn't start with just the Sabbath. He didn't start with the prophecies. He did not start with the diet. That the thing that he knew that would reach his heart is making sure that he revealed who Jesus is. I thank God for the scriptures because it's very, very clear that it says, if I and I be lifted up, I will draw all men and women, boys and girls, unto myself. Many times we make the mistake of always trying to push this and push that, push that. I want you to understand that the Spirit of God will guide you as you continue to grow and the person begins to be open and God begins to mature us. But I love this about Philip, because Philip knew the wisdom of making sure that everything that is taught, everything that is done when it comes down to this conversion business has to start truly and solely and wholly with Jesus. I thought I'd get a louder amen than that. It's all about Jesus. Somebody ought to say amen out there. It's all about Jesus. He told him the good news about Jesus Christ. And so now, after he began where he was, he began to bridge him over to Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that on October the 9th, every message is going to be designed to lift up Jesus Christ. Every doctrine that is preached, it's going to be designed and empowered by the Spirit to lift up Jesus as high as we can lift him. Because it's not about what we know. It's all about who we know. And when we know Jesus, when we fall in love with Jesus, I want you to understand that we are willing to do whatever he reveals. When you are surely in love with Jesus, you will begin to become a contagious Christian, and you want to please him in every aspect of his life. You'll begin to understand how all the Bible begins to fit together for your life and for the life of witness that you will now have and declare. So you begin to bridge them over to Jesus. And if I could just stop a moment and just to celebrate who Jesus is, I want you to know that even the letters of the alphabet, they describe who Jesus is. A says that he's the Alpha and Omega. B says he's a bridge over troubled waters. C says he's Calvary's King. D says he's Daniel's friend, even in the lion's den. E says he's everlasting. F says he's faithful. G says he's God Almighty. H says he's heaven's gift to man. I says he's immutable. And J says he's the justifying Savior. K says he's the King of Kings. L says he's the Lord of all. M says he's the maker of heaven and earth. N says he's near just when you need him most. O says he's oil for a faithful widow. P says he's a Prince of Peace. Q says he's quick and he's powerful. R says he's a rock in a weary land. S says he's a shelter in a time of storm. ST says he's the truth and the light. U says he's a universal king. V says he's a victor for every besetment. W says he's with us when the world is against us. X says he has x-ray vision that looks inside your heart when the world is against you. Y says he's Yahweh. Z says he's the zenith of our life. I believe it's time for Corona Church to tell everybody and let them know who Jesus is. Somebody ought to say amen out there. Bridge them over to Christ. He is the King of Kings. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized?" I want you to understand that once you bridge them over to Christ and they make a commitment that they love him so much that they're willing to do whatever they says, once they begin to learn that now is not going to be a life that like Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, life of cheap grace, that you go back to the world and to the things of Satan. No. It is a life that is passionate and sold out to Jesus Christ. And so it's time now to be baptized. And there was no delay with that baptism because Philip now had been prepared by the Spirit. He understood that Jesus Christ was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the one that would give him salvation. And at that moment, because the Spirit was moving, there was water on the side. They did not have beautiful baptismal pools in those days. Everything was outside and rustic. They stopped there, and that was the signal of baptism. And Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so the next step is now bridge them to a decision. I really even believe right now in this place, that there may be some people who have been coming, who've been convicted. Some people in this place are saying, you know, I really want to have a greater understanding and a deeper relationship with this Jesus. I want to give Jesus Christ everything that I have. I've given him some, but I think that as I look at society, as I look at what's going on in the world, I believe that it's time to give Jesus not just some of me, but all of me. Somebody, maybe today, maybe during the course toward this crusade, you want to make up your mind today. If you've not been wholly and solely, if you've not made that decision to follow Jesus Christ all of the way, it may be your time. I believe that to be true. You bring them to decision, and he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Baptism is simply a symbol that you are now under new management. It's a symbol that I am declaring in a public way that Jesus Christ is now the Lord and guide of my life. It's a symbol that says, I, by the grace of God, I'm going under the water. That's the death of my old life. And when I come up, I'm going to come up in the newness of life and in the power of Jesus Christ. I'm now going to have a life that is Spirit-led. And I'm not talking about perfection. I am talking about your direction. I'm talking about that you're willing to grow up in Jesus Christ. And when Philip recognized who Jesus was and is and shall be, the Bible says that he was baptized. Now watch this. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. This is key, because after the baptism, you have to understand that you have to believe the Spirit will take over. Now, discipleship is key. You have to have a plan for preservation and growth for anybody who is newly walking with Jesus Christ. But you have to understand that each person's growth is different. And each person's growth is to be led by the Spirit of God. So you have to believe, church, that the Spirit will take over. I will never forget On Fridays, I have a habit of always, if it's not raining, going to a car wash to get my car wash, obviously, and it was during the time of my last pastorate in this conference, and it's in the Inland Empire. I went to this particular car wash on a weekly basis, and I will never forget that I saw a gentleman I had not seen before, and he was the shoe shine. He was the shoe shine, the new shoe shine guy or man or boy, whatever you want to call him. And he had a permanent tan like myself, and he had the same type of hairdo. In other words, no hair. He was a stocky guy, he had a disposition that was friendly, but you could just tell that he had lived a lot of life. I every single morning, without fail, if I can honestly attest, I try when I pray in the morning. I say, God, just open my eyes so that I could see where you are moving. I want to lock in to where you are moving. And that day, it was as if there was an instant trust between this shoeshine guy and me. Instant trust, because he said, "What's up?" You know, and that was I said, "Oh, hey man, how you doing?" I had on just a sweat, just a gear. I didn't have on a suit. I did not have on a tie. I just had on just regular, you know, just a sweat gear. And I was just there. He didn't know who I was. He didn't know anything. And he says, "Hey, how you doing? What's up?" And he began to talk about that it was hard. It was hard. It was hard. It was He struggled. He said it was hard living out here. He just started his business to shoe shine, and he's trying to. And he said, "Man, do you have any shoes that I could shine?" And I said, "Well, yeah, sure, man. Next week, I'll be back next Friday, and I'll definitely, you know, bring some shoes while I, you know." He said, "Oh man, thanks. I'm just trying to build up my business." But there was one thing about this gentleman. He was so authentic. I want you to know, authentic. He was authentic in who he was. He shared with me that he had just been out of jail for the last 6-9 months. I can't remember the exact time, but he had recently out of jail, and he was living with his woman, and he had two children between him and his live-in girlfriend, but he had been away a lot of that time in jail. And he just shared with me openly, but he was telling me that life out here in the real world was rough. But he did not say it that nice. He had a way of using language that was very spicy, let me put it that way. And so he, you know, every other word, there was a cuss word, there was a blank this and a blank that, you know, fill in the blank, you know what I'm saying? I know you're too holy, you've never heard a curse word before, but he was just, you know, he was just language of the streets. He cursed, but he told me his story, and he cursed some more, and he told me his story, and he would blank this, and he blanked that, and he blanked it, blank, blank. Now, some of you would have been offended. "Oh, no, I have Seventh-day Adventist virgin ears, and you cannot curse in front of me. Don't you know I'm a minister of the gospel? I teach the three angels' message. I don't want you to curse." I was trying to figure out what God was doing, and so I listened. And I had to filter out some of the curse words, and I listened some more, and there was a connection God gave us right away. The next week, I gave him about 2 or 3 pairs of shoes. He shined them up, and he kept with his story. And the continuing theme was that life was so blanked up. Well, fill in the blank. He kept on saying all these words and this and that and thus. And you know, I kind of blinked my eyes, and I said, "God, give me strength and help me to listen." And I did not say a word. And the third week, he kept on. But I remember during that third week on that Friday morning, I said, "God, there's something special between him." His name is Kenny. I said, "Between Kenny and myself, let me know today if in fact Kenny was my assignment, that Kenny was my assignment. Let me know today. Give me a clear sign. And so he went on with this story. He shined up my shoes. I finished with my car wash. He says, man, my life is so da-da-da. He says, I need to go to somebody's church. I said, thank you, Jesus. He says, man, do you go to church? He said, can I go to church with you on Sunday? He said, I need to go to somebody's church. He says, my life is so blanked up. I said, Lord, have mercy. And I said, yeah, you could go with me, but you can't go with me on Sunday. He said, oh, man, I thought you went to church. He goes, man, you don't go to no church. I said, no, I go to church. I said, I go on Saturdays. He goes, you go on what day? He said, oh, no, well, I don't know what kind of church you're going to. He goes, man, well, the last time I went to church, my grandma, as a teenager, we went on Sundays, and I know Sundays is the right day. I said, well, and I noticed how God had set this thing up. Here was God, you got to get this, here was God, he had where he kept all of his supplies, a drawer where he kept his supplies, and there was a unwrapped gift Bible that I noticed when he pulled out for some shoe polish. There was a gift Bible that was yet to be, unwrapped. In other words, it was freshly clean. Somebody came through and gave him a gift Bible, but he had not even opened it up. And I said, if I could tell you that Saturday at least is the, the Saturday is the Sabbath day or the day that God set apart. I said, will you go with me? He said, man, ain't nothing. He goes, man, you show me that in the real Bible. He said, in the real Bible. I said, I'll show it in your Bible. He said, I don't have a Bible. I said, there's one right there. He said, huh? He said, blank. And so he opened it up. I'll never forget it. He opened it up, and he was not a good reader. And I said, well, go to this text. He said, no, man, you find it. And so I found a text. I said, but you got to read it. And I waited for him to read, and he read it through. And then I went to one text, and a second text, and a third text. And then I said, and I believe there's one right in the middle of the commandments about the seventh day. He said, nah, you're going to have to show me that, homie. I said, I'll show it to you. I said, turn to Exodus, and I turned to it, and I said, 20th chapter, and I said, I'll read this one to you. And so I said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. The seventh day. He said, let me see that. And he saw seventh day. He said, all right. He goes, no. He goes, all right. Let me count it out. He said, Monday. I said, no. Sunday. He said, all right, yeah, you're right. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He said, blank. He said, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He said, I'll be blank. He says, you know what? He said, you mean I've been in jail so long they changed the day of worship? Well, I want you to understand. He looked at me. He said, well, I guess you're right. He says, okay. He goes, I'll not come in the morning. He goes, how late does your church? I said, I told him. He says, well, okay. He says, what time should I meet you? I said, well, we have two services. We have an 8:00 and we have 11:00 service. He goes, you go to church that much? He still doesn't know anything. I said, yeah, I'll be there. And so 8:00, 11:00. And he says, well, how about I come right before the 11? If I'm not going to work in the morning, I'll sleep a little in and I'll come to church with me. Then I'll come do the afternoon shift at work. I said, no problem. You should have seen his face when he saw me and the elders of that church come out. He was sitting right there in the middle. He had on a new suit, and he looked at me, and he just discovered that I was the pastor. I read his lips, and I believe he said, blank. But I want you to know that the Holy Ghost gave us a good one that day, and the Spirit began to pour forth. I began to make an appeal that day, and the first one out of the 15 that came forward that day was Kenny Elders. I want you to know he accepted Jesus Christ. He had studies, and he brought in his living girlfriend, and then his living girlfriend, she began to minister to his and her children, all the whole family on my last day of that assignment. I baptized them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and I married them on the same day. Somebody ought to say amen out there. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, you will then hear from heaven and God will begin to forgive sins and he will begin to heal the land. I believe that this land needs healing in Inland Empire at the Corona era, and I believe during this time God is going to do multiplied miraculous things to change lives and to turn it around. If you believe that God will do it and can do it and has already ordained that he will do it, somebody shout out amen. Amen. So saints, it's simple. God is calling us for us to yield our lives so that we could be a blessing to somebody else. And to begin to think spiritually about the salvation of your friends, relatives, acquaintances, and neighbors, and to be open to divine appointments. I challenge you today that you receive a sheet right now. We have people who are going to begin to pass out frangelism sheets right now. And what I want you to do is this, is that you begin to pray in your heart for a burden for men and women that God has placed in your lives. And when you begin to do that, you will see that God will not only give you the burden, he will give you the people, and the Spirit will begin to work. And so right now, we know that the time is far spent. We recognize that God is trying to do a new thing, but we want everybody to begin to pray to make sure that God put a burden on your heart for somebody else. We want you during this time to look at that and pray. And we're going to have a fellowship meal, and we're asking that all of you return with that sheet and give that sheet proper attention for some names for people that perhaps you have a burden for, that you've been praying for. And when you begin to do that, you want to put their email addresses or their contact information, and we want to follow up with prayer and perhaps a Bible study, and so that God will begin to work in the season so that we will complement the work of the Spirit. I want each and every one of you to fill that out, and we're going to ask that as you are asking for names and asking for a passion. And here's the key, saints. If you say, I don't have a passion for winning anybody, one of the reasons is that you cannot give what you do not have. Some of us perhaps have just been in the periphery and on the periphery of a religious movement. Some of us have lost our passion, but God has delayed our lives so that we can feel again the Spirit of God ignite our hearts so that we can experience the joy of winning somebody. There's going to be many ministries that you could be involved with during this crusade. And as I say it once, I'll say it 1,000 times, this is not Dr. Emil Dean Peeler's crusade. This is not Pastor Gary Tabor's crusade. This is not Stan's crusade or Greg's crusade or the outreach committee's crusade. This is God's crusade, and he has offered us this precious privilege to join in partnership with him in this declared offensive against sin and Satan, so that we can help build the kingdom. I praise God for this opportunity, and I believe that God is going to take this church, as has been prepared by our precious leader, Gary Tabor, from membership to true discipleship. But you cannot give what you do not have. And so we're going to have a special consecration prayer. And we're going to ask all of you, I will pray, Pastor Tabor will pray, and Elder Chuck McKinstry will pray. And I'm going to ask all of you, who somehow through the Spirit of God, you came today, and you are now convicted to say, I want to be renewed and reinvigorated and re-inspired to be connected fully and purely to God and His work. And I just want to do my part in helping to build the kingdom. If you want to just draw close to God, hear His voice, and commit yourself to the season of public evangelism, if in fact that is your key, we want you to come out of your seats and join me up front and receive these short, pithy prayers that I will begin praying for Gary and Gary for me and then Elder McKinstry for the congregation. If you want to be a part of this, we're asking that you would join us down front as we pray. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Let's bow our heads. Almighty God, you love us so much that you sent your Son to die for us, to redeem us, and you've called us to the ministry of reconciliation. Lord, I pray for Pastor Peeler and his team of Bible instructors. Be with him as he leads out with the pastoral staff and with the congregation. As he prepares his messages, may you give him the words that he needs to say. Give him the ability to make changes as needed to reach the hearts of those who will be attending. We pray that you would be with him as he helps us to make the appropriate plans that will bring a harvest of souls into your kingdom. Lord, we want to invite and bring people to know you. And so I pray your blessing on him. Anoint him in his study. Anoint him as he shares with us what we need to do. Anoint him when he preaches. That what you do in and through him and his workers will truly bring a harvest of souls who will know you, whom to know is life eternal. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we continue, God, we lift up our pastor, our visionary, our friend, Pastor Tabor, and the entire staff of leaders. We're asking that you would continue to give them visions in the night season and power to follow your voice and your will. We thank you in advance for how you're going to bless and empower them so much that people during this crusade will come running like that person of old. What must I do to be saved? So thank you, Lord, for you using Pastor Tabor. Empower him, encircle his family, and then give them strength during these times so that you may get the glory when all is said and done. In the name of our Lord, amen.
Father, we're very fortunate in this congregation to be part of a loving congregation that's committed itself to you, to be part of a growing understanding of Jesus, and for the richness and texture that he brings to our lives. And now it's our turn to share that with others who don't have the blessings that we have. May the richness of his gift to us flow out of us to others. Help us to have the wisdom and the willingness to be your servants in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now may God's blessing and power and strength rest on all of us who have declared that he is Lord of Lords.
Just a reminder, there is a luncheon. If you did not come prepared, that's fine. If you would like to be part of it and know how you can minister, there's 10 teams that we're going to be forming of ministry, and we want to have you share in those that you feel that you have gifts in, and talents and abilities, and so we're doing that immediately afterwards. Dr. Peeler was going to be with us, but something has come up of an emergency nature, and so we're going to be conducting that ourselves, but I know he would rather be with us. I know that for a fact. So if you can just stay by and in the fellowship hall, and if you can't stay by for lunch, at least go to the fellowship hall, talk to myself, Stan, Greg Pick, and we'll be sure and help you out. So God bless us, and thank you for staying by today.